This episode of The Arena, a multi-platform gaming news podcast post-show, is sponsored by, well, of course, you. If you want to learn more about how you can support the show, go to patreon.com/thearena_podcast. Hey, all of you listeners and viewers, welcome into the post-show, episode 64 for The Arena, a multi-platform gaming news podcast. I'm your host, Expat, along with my co-hosts, Burley of Burleyman Gaming, who is searching for his spiritual opium, and our other co-host, yes. Turn-based Carl. Carl, how you doing, man?
I have my spiritual opium. It comes in can form now.
Yeah,
it can. They've revolutionized it. It's very nice.
Yes. Cool. And Burley, how you doing, man?
I'm doing good. I'm hanging in there. I had a small fix before we started.
Cool. All right, so let's jump right into the post show. So first topic, you guys heard about Kojima. He's going to be opening up a new studio in LA. It's going to be a movie studio. Go figure, right? So, yeah. And watch. You know he's going to be at the Game Awards. You just know it. You know Keeley's probably going to be promoting this thing. So
is he going to have a movie preview instead of a game preview?
Maybe. Yeah.
Right.
Who knows? So I'm going to read some of this for you. This is from Ryan Gilliam over at Polygon.com. So Kojima Productions opens a new LA studio so Kojima can finally make movies. Kojima Productions is heading west with plans to open a new studio in California. This new studio will focus on some of creator Hideo Kojima's other favorite mediums, namely TV, film, and music. While Kojima Productions Japan will continue to focus primarily on games, the new LA office will expand the studio's entertainment reach into multiple entertainment mediums, games included. Quote, the new division will be tasked with working with creative and talented professionals in television, music, and film, as well as the more familiar games industry, end quote, says Riley Russell, a former PlayStation executive and leader of the new business team at Kojima Productions. While all the information around the new studio seems a bit nebulous at the moment, the specific goal seems to be bringing Kojima Productions' character and properties to other mediums, something Kojima has wanted to do for some time. Now, I mean, we've all played a lot of Kojima games, I'm sure. We played Metal Gear. We played, you know, I don't know. Carl, Burley, have you guys played Death Stranding yet?
Mm-mm. No.
No? Carl?
I have
no.
It installed
Burley,
on my...
did you play? Yeah.
I have it installed on my PC and made sure the thing ran because it came with a graphics card for my PC. As I've said this on stream... I don't know if I really want to spend 40 hours on a walking simulator. I'll watch the couple hours of cutscenes and stories, but do I want to go through all that? No.
Yeah. That's the thing I worry about with this thing. I mean, if he's going to start making TV shows and movies, I mean, they're just going to be long, drawn out, and some of these stories are going to be just incomprehensible. You know,
there's a lot of that in his games for sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
visually speaking, I think Death Stranding actually would be really cool as a movie. It doesn't look like a game I want to play, but there's a lot of things I see in that game that I'm like, if you made a movie, like a really atmospheric sort of like almost horror-ish, you know, road trip sort of trek movie. Yeah. I think you could do something really awesome.
Yeah. Burley, what do you think? Do you think this production company is going to be successful?
Oh, this production company is going to be successful. You know how many fans of his like just adore this man? He walks on water. He's God. He's Jesus. Yeah. He can do no wrong. Like anything this guy puts out, even if it's shit, it's going to get so much buzz and everyone's going to be like, oh, my God, can't wait. Need to watch it 4 billion times. I'm more interested to see him make movies and like TV series than him do games. I know to some people that's sacrilege, but let's be honest. Some of the games that he's put out, it's just more he wants to do twists and cool things with story and not so much with gameplay anymore. And it's like, I'll watch it. I'd rather watch a show for that kind of stuff. Give me that in a good, like, if you did Death Stranding as like a series, a TV series with like two or three seasons or a season or two and just make them like 1 hour, that's, 45
that's
minutes.
That's a bit much. Come on. Come on now, Burley. Let's not go that far. Just give me a two-hour movie of Death Stranding, okay? It's probably as much as I can sit through.
Well, I just say TV episodes, because then you can stop. You know what I mean? Like, okay, episodes one done. I can stop, turn my brain off, and go do something, and then come back.
He's going to get Kurt Russell to come back and play Snake Plissken. Because that's who he his, you know, for Snake. Come on,
If you let Kojima do a TV series of Death Stranding, you're going to have, like, there's going to be an episode, the entire episode is just Norman Reedus struggling to, you know, carry some packages across this crazy terrain. That'll be the whole episode. You have to sit through that for an hour. So.
Yeah. So.
I wonder... What's going to happen with his game production, right? Is that going to suffer? Will he? Because I feel like he really wants to do this. He's always seems like this is where he's heading. And will he focus more on that? You know, is that Xbox project, that cloud thing that supposedly is a rumor out there, is that a thing? And what will he do after that, right? Like, will he then pivot over to this and his games maybe? Maybe he's got a successor that's taken over at his studio, right? Yeah. Who knows?
I think that's coming first, though. I think at the Game Awards, I think him and Keighley are going to announce that Xbox project. I think, something's coming from that.
If it's real, you'd think that with all we've heard on that, how long ago that rumor's been out there, there should be something. And he loves to show things off really early. So, I mean, you know, it's got some crazy cinematic that shows you nothing.
Yeah, because his games like take at least like 7 to 8 years to make. So
let's make a prediction here. Okay.
Yep.
So let's say he does announce this Xbox game, right?
Okay. We're betting a case of Arizona's Burley for Carl.
Yeah, no, it's not. I don't know if it's something you can really bet on, right? I'm not against that. Like, I don't know if it's something you can bet on. Do you think that the fervor behind this project will be much more diminished because it's Xbox exclusive? Or did his fan base come out anyway?
I think the fan base comes out anyway.
Fan base will come out, but it will be diminished. And there is no doubt on that. I can't say by how much, because there are so many people that I know that are still Sony diehards that even if the game comes out on Xbox and PC, they will not buy it and won't make that.
Well, here in Japan, they're going to follow him regardless. But,
because the insanity behind like Death Stranding and like the cryptic, crazy stuff, like trailers that you had no idea what was going on before we ever saw what the game was. Like it was unbelievable how many people were like just like trying to figure out and dissect these videos. Like, I feel like we're not going to see that because it's Xbox. You know, that's how it goes. But I hope they prove me wrong. You guys should show up. If you really love Kojima, you should show up for whatever he does. Like, I'm not that guy.
Okay, Burley, you're up, man. So, we didn't get a chance, of course. All you viewers and listeners, we didn't do a post show last week because we had, you know, time issues and constraints and stuff like that. So this week, we want to talk about this one particular topic, and Burley wanted to talk about it especially. So, let's talk about it now. Burley, you had some things that you wanted to mention about streaming and, for example, Streamlabs. So what's going on there, man?
Yeah, I've had people give me shit on this. Streamlabs is a streaming software. It was using the OBS name and some of the branding and stuff. The OBS, they told them not to. Streamlabs just did it. I do not support that. I do not. Thieving and stuff like that. I do not support that. but I've had some people give me like, you're still using Streamlabs because I still use it. My thing is like, mm-hmm. I am not rushing to jump to a platform because I knew so many people that right now are like, oh, I'm banning Streamlabs. I'll jump to here. And then you're running into all these issues. Because that's the thing. Like, Streamlabs has stuff I set up a way I like, and I really don't want to have to re-go through chroma key settings for my green screen. I am going to look eventually to transition, but I am not of the instant, like, because this all broke when I was on vacation. It's like, I'm not spending my vacation days ripping this apart and restarting from the ground, export what you can and re-import. It's like, that's just a nightmare and a half that I don't want to go through.
Now, tell our viewers and listeners, I mean, what is the difference between Streamlabs and Streamlabs OBS? Now, from what I know, Streamlabs OBS is like a more simplified version of the Streamlabs architecture.
Yeah, well, OBS is the more basic, and because it's just straight up OBS, Open Broadcast Software. And then there's Streamlabs that took stuff from there and some of the branding and called themselves Streamlabs OBS. They've now renamed Streamlabs because I kind of have to. But OBS was more just your generic, here it is. Not to downplay play OBS. There's nothing wrong with it. But like when I went to it, because I started early on it, I had nothing but problems. Like, Every version update broke something, and there was, because one of the benefits with Streamlabs is it backs up your config if you want it into the cloud to your account. So you sign back in with your Streamlabs account, like, because when I switched computers, it re-downloaded all my settings and everything, and I only had to change one thing because my graphics driver.
Okay. So what do you think is going to happen moving forward now with all of this?
What's going to move forward is you're going to have a lot of people that just instantly won't know, that are just bashing Streamlabs and just left the platform and give people shit. Because I have seen it. I have seen it from other streamers because I've been in other people's chats and they're like, oh, you're still using Streamlabs? You're not a real streamer. You don't care. And this
so
and that. And
so what like, is their alternative? What is their alternative there? What are they going to go to besides Streamlabs?
Yeah, well, they want people to either go to regular OBS, Stream Elements, or the Twitch. That Twitch has its own offerings. Yeah, they have like a Twitch Studio, Twitch Lite Studio, or something like that. They like Twitch has two of them. Or they want, if you're using like AverMedia or Elgato, to use those softwares. It's like, I'm just not one for bashing people for what they use. Like some streamers I know that are doing it, that's the only way they make money. And they're like, I don't want to risk with what I'm doing right now, what's working, to start half set me up into another thing. And it's like, I don't blame you. Like for me, it's just, I don't want to instantly move. And then I'm re-spending hours and hours and hours of troubleshooting this because I troubleshoot problems for a living, for my career. And it's like, the less I have to do that, the kind of better. And I don't like, that's where I've liked Streamlabs because I've used other programs that I've had. Streamlabs has given me very little issues.
Carl, do you have anything you want to ask Burley or any comments on this?
No, it's not really my place to speak. I don't know too much about the streaming stuff. I've used OBS like only just to play around. I wanted to try to do that one day, but I never really spent much time with it. So,
yeah, I mean, for me, I mean, I started streaming a couple of years ago, and you know, I started with Streamlabs OBS. And I will continue to do so. I mean, I don't see what the big deal is personally. That's just me. You know, I mean, if you want to use Streamlabs, great. If you want to use Streamlabs OBS, that's great. If you want to use Stream Elements, that's great. I mean, when it comes down to things, I mean, the final thing is you're trying to live stream a game to people out there and enjoy it, you know, and to meet people and to, and to talk to people. That's what live streaming is all about when it comes to, you know, what people do on Twitch, especially, you know, and Burley, you can attest to that. So that's just me. Oh, yeah. But yeah. So
I guess I could say that, I do want to try my hand at some streaming at some point once I get some more time. And I guess, maybe I will avoid this version. Just, if I'm starting new, okay. It's easy for me to step and not choose that one.
Yeah. But who knows? Well, Carl, I was just going to say, you can do some streaming with Burley and I when we do these live events at some point in the future. Yeah.
Hey, man. It would be fun,
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. So, Burley, we got to talk about that later for the Game Awards, too. So that's coming up soon. We should probably be streaming that. So we'll see, depending on my time situation out here in Japan. But anyway,
it's going to be a long show, right? Come on. Those
things are like an hour and a half or 2 hours, I think it is. Yeah. So
the Game Awards? Hour and a half, isn't it like 2 hours? 4 hours?
Yeah, I was going to say it's like 4 or 5 hours.
Yeah.
5?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well,
we'll see. Yeah,
I think it was 4 hours awards, last year.
I don't remember.
Yeah, because there's like a half hour concert. Because I've never done the event, I've never watched it live. There's like a half hour concert from the Video Games Live where they do a bunch of music from the big games of the year and stuff. Like, it's a long event. Like, because I had one of my regulars, they're like, you should stream this. I was like, yeah, but it usually ends by the time well after I'm done for the night. And they're like, And I'm like, I'm not half streaming this event or streaming this. And when it gets to the stuff I don't care, you're just going to see me like on my phone and be like, they're talking about RE Village here. Okay, piss break time.
Yeah, it looks like, the last year's show was 3 hours. So
3. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, that's shorter than I saw.
Okay, we'll see. Yeah, it depends. Yeah, we'll talk about it later, guys. But all right, next up, there's talk about a Mass Effect series. I mean, speaking of Kojima Productions and Kojima trying to make TV shows, now there's talk that there's a Mass Effect show that is going to be coming down the pipeline. And there's a lot of talk about whether or not the main character in the Mass Effect games, Shepard, should actually be the main character in a particular series, because, people are saying, well, Shepard, you can make Shepard a male character, you can make Shepard a female character, and then of course, throughout the game, of course, with all the romance and everything else, Shepard could end up very different from any different players. So I don't know. What do you guys think? If this does come about, which it looks like it might, for a Mass Effect TV series, should there be a Commander Shepard as the main character? What do you guys think? Carl, we'll start with you on this one.
I mean, I think I'd be happy either way, right? Whatever you went with. I think the Mass Effect lore is rich enough that you could go with kind of anything in that world. But also, Shepard is the crux of the story that we all care about. And I don't think that it's a bad idea to adapt that story in some way. Maybe not on a TV budget. Maybe I'd rather, if they were going to do a Mass Effect film, I would prefer that be the Shepard thing. And you're going to ruffle some feathers no matter who you cast for that role. But I mean, whatever. You're going to have to just. You can't really, that's the thing where it's like, you probably can't really let your vocal minority dissuade you on that, because they're going to need to get a wider audience to view this.
Right.
And the wider audience isn't going to know or care that Shepard could be a male or female or anything in between, skin color and, race and whatever,
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's currently being discussed by Amazon Studios and Electronic Arts. So,
okay.
Yeah.
And it's going to star Chris Pratt.
Yeah, yeah, no, yeah, no, really.
They,
yeah.
I, Actually, they said it's actually going to be, they're going to use that de-aging technology. They're going to use it on William Shatner. Make him straight like he did in the 60s for Star Trek.
Burley, what do you think of this? Shepard.
Yeah, just Shepard? No, it shouldn't be Shepard. It should be goddamn Rex. From Mass Effect 1. Krogan.
See, like, yeah. How are you going to pull that off, right?
Yeah.
On a TV budget as your main character. That's the problem with Mass Effect, is that your aliens are like real wild looking.
Yeah.
They're gonna have to be full
CG. You're talking Star Wars type of budgets for this stuff, probably.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, like your Tyrion, right? Garrus. I would love to be Garrus to be the main character, but like, can you pull that off?
Well, even the Asari. I mean, you know,
all that's the makeup. Easy.
Yeah, no, well, the makeup and everything too. Yeah, so
Asari is like perfect Star Trek style. Like you could definitely pull off practical effect Star Trek makeup, like a Klingon, all those things, Ferengi, right? You can do that for the Asari.
Yeah. So I don't know. We shall see. I'm sure they'll have some more announcements coming up soon as the game. The next game is obviously being in development as well, so we shall see. So.
Oh, Emily Blunt as Femme Shep. There you go. Emily Blunt. You'd be great.
Yeah. Okay.
Burley?
What do you think, Burley?
I agree. Emily Blunt as female Shem.
I know, you were going to say something else, though.
But I was going to say, why does it have to be about Shepard? We should make it about the best character from Mass Effect 2. The elusive man, Martin Sheen.
The elusive man, okay. Yeah, no, it's about Kaden from Mass Effect 1.
Because
he's the most bland human guy. So, like, you can just, it's super easy. Just do the human guy.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Before we wrap this up, of course, this holiday weekend, of course, we had Black Friday. And of course, you know, Black Friday for some people, it's a time to go out and, you know, try to grab some big discounts on certain products and all. I just want to talk about some memories of Black Friday. I don't know if you guys remember, it was, of course, a tragic story of Black Friday back in the early 80s. I don't know, Carl, you probably remember this, the Cabbage Patch dolls.
You know? No, I don't, actually.
Really? So back in the early 80s, these Cabbage Patch dolls, you know, these dolls, you know, they were very, very popular.
If that's what you meant. Like, I do know the dolls, yes.
Yeah, well,
I know the dolls.
This grandmother went into a... Yeah, Burley's the baby of the group. Okay, yeah. So anyway.
You're talking early 80s, I might have been, you know, like,
yeah,
you know, 2-3 years old.
Yeah. So anyway, well, I was in high school when this happened, and this grandmother went into a department store to buy a Cabbage Patch doll, and she was trampled to death.
Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah.
So many people were running in there trying to get Cabbage Patch dolls. It was crazy. But of course, nowadays, obviously, it's the 4K TV. It's some, you know, crazy, you know, cell phone deal that's out there where people are just going in and, you know, trying to rip it out of somebody else's hand and whatever. I've never experienced anything like that. But I mean, in San Francisco, when I was living in, you know, my hometown, the buses and just the public transit systems were just over flooded for hours and hours. And I would remember going into the stores and I'd hear these, you know, sales team members, they'd be saying, "This is our Super Bowl." You know, it's like, you know, talking about nobody can be, you know, missing today. You know, nobody can be off of work today. You know, it was crazy times, man. Carl, I know, you know, being American, what do you think of Black Friday and what kind of experiences did you have shopping, if you have, on Black Friday?
Yeah, I mean, I've experienced the madhouse of it. I've never had anything bad happen, you know, during a series. I haven't seen anything bad happen. I've just been in stores that have been massively packed, like Best Buy. No,
come on, Carl. You were trying to loot that 4K TV to put it in there. Yeah, behind you.
Just like trying to carry it on my back. I used to like, you know, going out and trying to get some good deals. I used to buy, you know, DVDs and Blu-rays a lot because they'd always have really good sales on those. Uh-huh. Less now. I've waited in lines, you know, to get stuff.
Yeah.
You know, like at Best Buy and things.
And you see the tents outside in the parking lot. Yeah.
Yeah. I've never done that. Yeah. But I worked at Best Buy in the year like 2001 or so. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And I, yeah, the people who are camped out outside waiting for those deals, that day was absurd. Oh, absurd.
Yeah.
But, and I've gotten some good things. Like I waited for in line, not a long line, but in the store at a GameStop for a PS4, my PS4 that I got actually.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Which I got for $200.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
And it was the slim model. And I also picked up Horizon Zero Dawn for $20. So.
Nice.
Can't really go wrong. Oh, and there was also like a gift card. He gave me like a $50 GameStop gift card. So I basically got two games and a console for $220.
Can't complain at that.
I know.
Yeah. Now, Burley, being up there in Canada, I mean, I don't know if you guys have any Black Friday issues or if you guys, you know, have big shopping discount sales during that day of the year. I mean, could you tell us?
Yeah.
If you have any experiences with Black Friday?
Black Friday only really came to Canada when I was like second year of college, close to being done college.
Okay.
So, but fuck, man, you need to get your axe out. I've had to chop a few people. I mean, I have never hurt anyone on Black Friday shopping. I don't want to go to jail. No, like
he's Black just Friday, broken see, a few the, windows.
The, yeah.
Yeah. Now, Canada, we're a little more civil than the U.S. Not trying to be a dig at the U.S., but like we've never, like, even when I did Black Boxing Day shopping in Canada when I was a kid in the 90s and early 2000s, it was pretty civil. Yeah. Like stores were packed, but no one trampling. It's more like people are. Yeah. Sorry, sir. Can I get by you? Because I also want to grab myself this PlayStation game.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's never been
here
like,
in Japan,
been like that.
Yeah. Here in Japan, Black Friday is non-existent. I mean, yeah, we have Amazon deals, like Amazon Japan, of course. There's lots of Black Friday deals and things like that. So a lot of people do the digital shopping, you know. But, yeah, I mean, it's just a regular work day here in Japan. So you don't see people like running around and trying to bust through doors or anything like that. So, but I want to ask you one last thing, Carl, about Black Friday. Is it true that a lot of department stores now are opening at midnight now?
Yes.
Like for Black Friday deals?
I don't know if they're like, I know COVID changed some of this, so I don't know what's happening
now,
but I do remember a couple of years back, like I went like, I mean, they were opening Thursday, you know, the day before.
Yeah.
Like sometimes even earlier. It wasn't just midnight. They were opening like
at 8 or 9 p.m. or something.
Yeah. Basically like, all right, everybody, you're done with your Thanksgiving dinner. All right, come shop. Come shop.
Yep.
Yeah. I remember going to a Target and I was there probably like 10 p.m. or something at the mall.
Yeah.
And they were going to be open late too, right? Like later than usual.
Yeah.
I was like, all right. And it wasn't that busy. So I was like, this is working out pretty well. I'm like, I'm just casually getting like some great deal on something, you know, like I picked up that year, like a Beats headphones as a gift for someone, you know? So yeah, COVID I think fixed a little bit of it, but I'm sure it'll go right back to it where they're making people work obscene hours. If you worked at retail stores. You know, late Thursday, early Friday. Like sometimes these stores are opening like 6 a.m. You know, when their normal opening time is probably not till like, I don't know, like
9 or 10
or 11, you know? Yeah, right. So
a friend of mine was an ETL, an executive team leader at one of the Targets in San Francisco Bay Area. And he was telling me, they would have to be in at like 5:30 in the morning. To start, you know. And now, I mean, it's like midnight. They're opening their doors, you know, like the Targets. I mean, with like you said, that was a couple years ago. COVID changed that, but probably it's going to revert exactly back to the way it was before. So
Because we learned nothing. We never will.
Yeah.
Well, for like even my mom actually learned this year. She was like, because she's retired, and she's like, oh, I thought of going Black Friday shop, and she's like, why would I go in the stores? I can just do this online. It's like, it's the same deals. Yeah. It's like I bought my copy of Lost Judgment, my headphones that I'm wearing, and I bought a TV through Walmart because Walmart, they started all their Black Friday deals early this year just to get people to buy stuff and not have, you know, every day that Black Friday day, 50 people trying to get in and kill each other for Cabbage Patch doll, whatever technological thing this year.
Yeah. Yeah. That's really alleviated it, the online stuff, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it will continue to, I think, as time goes on and more people are using digital technology more and more, you're not going to see as many people going to the stores for physical sales. So, so that's going to do it.
Can wait.
Yep.
I was going to say, most of that stuff could wait. Like, my judgment, oh no, I can wait 2 days for it to come in. I'm not in a rush on any of this stuff. Yeah, so it's like, I will avoid the crowds, wait a couple days, who cares?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, so that's going to do it for the post show for this week. So for all you listeners, viewers out there, you can catch us on Patreon at patreon.com/thearena_podcast in early access. And of course, it will go up on Wednesdays to our YouTube channels. So we hope to catch you, and also in on podcast services, of course, in audio format. So we hope to catch you either in audio or video, and we hope to catch you in the next one next week. So take care, everyone. Peace out.